In the Bible, in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, is where I'm going to start. We had a great service last week, and Sunday morning we had a service where we talked about how the Lord reveals himself to us. And the Lord spoke to us and gave us a lot of good stuff about how he reveals himself to us. And the Lord's been giving us just blessings and power upon the services. And this week, those great services we had, it's been very good with Brother Fisher and other things. We've been seeing the Lord speak, and it's been good. All right, Galatians 5. I will start at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. All right, let's pray. We're going to talk about the spirit of the flesh. Father, give us your insight and wisdom into this lesson and this message, Father. And Lord, I just know you've been pushing me in this sermon and into learning this and just really wanted this for this morning. So, Lord, you have a purpose. You said your word wouldn't return void, but it would accomplish that purpose. And we ask that would happen this morning, especially through the power of the Spirit, that we would have receptive ears and minds. You would work powerfully through the word of God and Lord, help every person to be spoken to. May all of us have ears to hear and do a mighty work, Father, during this time. And give us attentiveness and clarity of mind and help us not to be distracted, but focused on thee and thy word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few things in this passage, in the center of it is the flesh and the spirit. And especially verse 16, 17, 18, the flesh and the spirit. Now, the flesh in the Bible is referred to very, very clearly all throughout the scripture. Your flesh is referred to as an enemy of your spiritual life. The Bible says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit. The Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. In 1 John chapter 2. And so this flesh is what's referred to as our bodies and our bad desires. It is very natural. When mankind sinned, they got a fallen nature, and their flesh, us, our flesh, our bodies, by nature, do that which is wrong. You don't have to teach your children to do wrong. It's standard on every model. You don't have to teach them. You have to teach them to do right. Your kid at 1 year old, if there is a toy and there's another 1 year old, or 2 year old, those kids won't say, "I'd rather you have it." It's built in to be selfish. They have a fallen nature, and so we naturally, if someone cuts you off on the highway, your nature isn't to bless them. Your nature is to get mad, get angry, say certain words, wave at them with incomplete hands and all kinds of things. And there's all kinds of bad things you do because you're angry, because your flesh naturally does wrong. You have to at some point make yourself go to church because there will be times you don't feel like it. You have to make yourself read your Bible. You have to, because your flesh is this thing. And when the Bible is referring to the flesh, it's not, although it's using the same word as the physical body, it's referring to your fallen nature and the bad that naturally that we do. And we all have it. There's nobody who doesn't have it. It's all built into all of us. All of us can do wrong. All of us have bad desires. It's just the stream is flowing towards wrong, and you're a fish in that stream and you naturally flow downstream. You naturally do wrong. And wouldn't it be nice if it was as easy to do right as it is to do wrong? When you, don't you wish your desires, don't you wish you were tempted to do right all the time? You know, I really, really, really want to bless my enemies. I'm going to resist this and not bless them. That's not the way we work. I wish it did. It would be a lot easier if we did, but we have that nature in us. And so that's the flesh. And the Spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is kind of the workman of God who's down among us, who lives inside of us, who speaks to us and leads us and guides us into truth. And the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And the spiritual side, there's a spirit in us. When we get saved, we get a spirit in us, a new man. And that new man is spiritual. And that new man is a new nature. And the Holy Spirit is inside of us now. And we have this nature. The Bible says we cannot continue to sin and sin and sin because we are born of God. And that which is born of God is manifest in us. So when I became a Christian, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I suddenly got this other nature that longed for the Bible, that wanted to be close to God, that wanted to know God, that wanted to do right things and wanted to quit doing wrong. And so I got this new nature that wasn't there before. But when I accepted Jesus, it came. And I didn't have that before. Before, it was all about doing wrong and having fun doing it and trying to feel good about myself. And even the good I did in pride. So I could talk about how good I was. So I could feel like I impressed God or somebody else. And even that was wrong because I had a fallen nature. But then I got this spiritual side of me when I accepted Jesus. And then I got two different sides inside of me. I got the Spirit saying, I want to do right. And I got the flesh that said, I want to do wrong. And just a few thoughts on that. Number one, if you walk in one, you deny the other. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in one, you deny the other. Number two, flesh and spirit are pulling opposite ways. Very important. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. The flesh and the Spirit are lusting against each other, and they're contrary to each other. They are opposite. They do not agree. They are going opposite directions. And so we see they're contrary. They're going pulling opposite ways. Number three, so if you want to serve the Lord, you cannot do what you want to do. It's very important. You got to get that there. If you serve the Lord, you cannot do what you want to do. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, verse 17, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. What you want to do, what you desire to do, you cannot do what you want to do, because the flesh is lusteth against the Spirit. And you have that. And so if you want to serve the Lord, you cannot do what you want to do. That's why when Jesus began his very first thing, when he said, if you want to follow me, let anybody who wants to follow me deny himself. That's the first thing he says. If you want to follow me, you're going to have to start off by denying yourself, because it's not going to be fun and easy in what you want to do. It's not natural. It's going against your nature. Paul said it this way, and let me read out of Romans chapter 7. Paul says it this way, and this is a man who's a great apostle, Paul, and one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, but he talks about this war inside of him, and that he's having a problem doing what his spirit is saying because his flesh is strong. This is Romans 7:14. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, that's fleshly, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. That means I don't want to do it. For that I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. You ever live that way? You ever say, I don't want to do this thing, I want to please God, and this thing always hurts, and this thing always messes me up, and I always regret afterward, but here I go. Why? Because that which I do not want to do, I do anyway. And the thing I really want to do, which is a spiritual thing, I don't do that. So I'm doing what I really don't want to do. And he continues on. He says, for that which I would, I do, I allow not. For that which I would, that I do not. But that which I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Then it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do what God wants. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. So he says, I'm doing that. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. My heart, I want God. My inward man, this spirit, I want God. But when I want, I don't do. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's an answer there. It's through Jesus Christ. But he says, that which I want to do, I don't do, and I'm struggling because there's a war inside of me. I've heard it said this way. It's like somebody talked to an Indian who became a Christian way back in the day, an American Indian, and he said, I heard you become a Christian. What is it like? And he said, I now have two dogs inside of me, a white dog and a black dog, and they fight back and forth inside of me, and one always wins. And he says, the one that wins is the one that I feed. By the way, we'll get to that a little bit later. Is the one that I feed. So there's this nature, this dual nature inside of us that's worn. Let me illustrate this a little bit to you. Let's have Ron, can you come on up here, and Travis, come on up here. And just use them just for a second. Okay, Ron, you can be on this side. You'll be the spiritual side, just because you're bigger and God's bigger. And this is the flesh here. And so there they are. And here's me in the middle. I'm a Christian. I have both these things. I have the flesh, which is trying to pull me to go ahead and grab my arm, trying to pull me to do wrong. I have that all the time. And I have the spirit, which pulls me to do right. And so it's, yeah. So I got this constant battle, and they're pulling me. And I feel both these things. Now, at certain times, this guy's got me by both hands, and he's got both hands, and this guy's got my one finger, and this guy's winning. And so this guy's got way more power sometimes. Sometimes this guy's got me by both hands, and this guy just barely got one finger, and he can't hold on to me. I'm not drawn right now to that. There's different times of that, but they're contrary to each other. They're opposite directions. They're not pulling the same direction. So if I want God, if I want the Spirit, if I want the Lord, if I want righteousness, I've got to deny this guy. Okay? Now, I'll give you a few points on that, but basically, I've got to make the decision here. They're both going to always be there once I'm saved. If you're not born again, then you don't have this. All you have is this. And by the way, you'll say, no, I have a lot of good inside me. You will not realize your wickedness until you accept Christ. I don't say that meanly. I didn't either. I thought I was a pretty decent guy. And I realized just how bad I was once I accepted Christ. That's why I needed Christ, because I was a lost sinner. And so I needed that. Okay, you guys can sit down. I'm going to bring you up a little bit later just for a minute. And I won't do that a lot. So I have this constant pull on me. This gnat, and it's my very nature, a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? That's the Apostle Paul speaking. So I'm being drugged this way by nature. I'm pulled this way by the flesh, and it's very strong, and it's constantly there, and it's all around in the world. And the whole, we live in a fleshly society. So the advertisement is coming towards the flesh, and everything is going towards the flesh, and it's always there. And so my flesh is natural. Somebody does something wrong to me, very natural. I want to get very natural to want to get revenge. Jesus says, pray for your enemies, bless those who persecute you, bless those and be kind to them and love them and turn your other cheek. Turn the other cheek, the only other cheek I want to turn, if they hit my cheek, is I just want to turn this cheek to get a good swing in. I mean, I don't want to turn the other cheek. I mean, it's not natural for me. And so my flesh says, yeah, get revenge on them. They gossip about you, gossip back. They criticize you, criticize back. That flesh is very strong. They cut you off in the highway, ram them. This morning, I'm driving the big old shuttle, and some guy, I mean, where do they get their driver's licenses out there? I'm in this big 22-passenger bus. I'm going down the road, Nobody behind me forever. Here's a guy beside me, and he decides he wants to get in the other left lane over there. Does he go behind me where there's nobody behind me? No. He speeds up, pulls right in front of me, so I have to slam my brakes to get in that lane. Oh. And by the way, can I tell you, if that is you, there's two pedals. One goes faster, and then you can cut somebody off. The other one slows you down, and you can go behind them if you have to do something suddenly. And also, you can even plan to change lanes ahead of time. And there's a little stick on the side of your steering wheel. It signals things. And so, I'm getting the flesh. But you go, it's natural. And I just drove by, look at this guy. As I drove by, I think, and I just think, ugh. I just want to just sideswipe and just take his mirror off, you know, not too bad. But you know, I'm in a big bus and he's a little car, but, you know, and it just, it's built in there. I think, oh, I can't do that. I got to just drive on, ignore the guy, forget about him. And just, you got to do that. Your anger, you're wasting money. I got to have it. I know I don't have money for it, but I got to have it. That's your flesh. You got to spend it. Overeating. I know I'm preaching a Baptist church. You don't mention overeating, but we're very well-rounded Christians in more ways than one. And so, you know, you could, and you're like, I just can't stop it. Why? Your flesh is just in totally in control and tells you what to do. How dare I speak on that before Thanksgiving? What am I thinking? I got to preach on that next week. And so we have that and drunkenness. Oh, the people I know, and I always have somebody struggling with alcohol. Anytime you see me, I am helping somebody with alcohol. It's ridiculous. And because it's just so common in our society. And it's quiet. People hide it good now. And they're not the homeless guy standing in the street corner with a big brown bottle. It's not a brown bag. That's not what it is anymore. And just, they do not want to drink. But they can't stop either. They can't stop. And they talk to themselves and lie to themselves. I don't know how you lie to yourself. You know, hey, you're just going to take one drink. Okay. I mean, do you believe yourself? I don't understand that. Just say, I want it. Don't say, you're not going to drink it. Just buy it and put it in the fridge. Okay. I won't drink it. And they lie to themselves. Why? Because their flesh is telling them what to do, and they're going to do what the flesh wants to. And they can't stop. And maybe you can't stop your anger. Well, I'm just Irish. No, you're fallen. You're a human. Listen, I've been all around the world. People get mad in every country. Okay? It's part of our nature. And so your flesh is constantly pulling on you. The football game's on this morning. I want to watch football. That person, you're so mad at them, and you just got to say something. Your flesh is saying, say it. And you are drugged that way, and you do it because your flesh is lusting against the spirit, and you got to do something. So first of all, just a few points that I want to help you what to do about this mess. Number one, decide which fruit you want in the end. Because the flesh, if you follow it, is going to have certain results. It's like planting a crop. If you want a crop of dandelions, you plant dandelion flowers, that you might not like it in the end. If you plant a bunch of thorns and thistles and sticker bushes in your yard, and then you go around and say, ow, ooh, ow, oh, I hate this yard. This is a stupid yard. What a miserable yard. Well, you planted it. And if you say, I want to plant corn or roses or flowers or whatever you want to plant, then you decide to plant it, and you will like your crop. But these two both have crops. So let's look at those crops in Galatians 5. The first thing you have to do is not decide what you want to do right now. You have to decide what fruit you want to get later. Okay, you say, I don't want to plant anything. Okay, default is flesh. And that, you're going to get that crop. So you got to look at the fruit, not what you feel like doing right now. Now, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're shown, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, lustful immorality, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, which are jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions, which are divisions and splitting of relationships, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, as partying, and such like. For of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here, if you just said, well, I don't want a bunch of those, but a couple of those are okay. You're wrong. They're not okay. Hatred, variance, strife, divisions, they're bad things. You got to get along in your family. Speaking of Thanksgiving, let's just get everybody mad at Thanksgiving. I mean, you shouldn't be throwing turkey legs at each other when you get together. But your flesh, you had to tell her. And now, you can't have the meal together. They have two Thanksgivings because it's full of variance and strife and envyings. And so, if you, and by the way, only by pride comes contention, the Bible says. And so we have these things, and these are bad things. You don't want to live like that. You want the next list. Look at the next list. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I like joy. Peace. Long-suffering. That means you can suffer long, and it doesn't destroy you, get you down, make you quit. I can handle the long period of suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. That means under control. Against such there is no law. So you just got to decide which one of these. I want a life in a home and a life full of love and joy and peace. Or I want a life full of emulation, strife, drunkenness, and heresy. Because that's what's going to happen depending on which one you follow. If you follow the flesh, you're going to have those. That's the seed. That's the crop that grows. There's no getting around it. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do, but I'm not going to let that come into my life. It's impossible. It's the fruit. I'm going to plant me a corn seed, but I bless God. I'm going to make sure it grows up a bean. You can't. It's not possible. What you plant, you get. And so you got to decide. The first thing is just, what do you want? Verse 8, look at chapter 6, verse 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, if you say, I want to do what I want to do, and I want to follow God. I want God, but there's some fun things out there. All you become at that point when you try to follow both is a confused, frustrated Christian. You're doing the holy splits. You become a frustrated Christian who is always saying, I'm so sorry, Lord. I wish I was better. I just don't know. I'm so weak and I can't. I want to serve you and I like going to church, but I don't always go to church. And I want to read a Bible, but I don't ever seem to. And I want to have a prayer life and I want my family to be godly. And I just, nothing works out. That's the way you feel when you try to do both. You just get frustrated. Because they're lusting and they're contrary one to another. So you cannot do the things that you would. Number two, if you want the flesh, don't do anything. If you want the Spirit, you have to take hard steps. Okay? I can tell you how to make it to church, and I can tell you how not to make it to church. If you don't want to come to church, don't do anything. You will naturally just eventually be become unfaithful to church. If you want to have a temper problems and get angry, don't do anything. It'll happen naturally. You want to have a lust problem? It'll happen naturally. There's just too many temptations in the world. If you want to, the spiritual realm, this is the biggest part of the message, you've got to take certain steps that fortunately God gives us in the Bible that we can take that make it so that we can do the spiritual things. But you'll have to take those steps. It won't happen simply because of desire. Because you have the fallen flesh. So you have to follow God's steps that he give us. Let's look at verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So you cannot do they're contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. So you are taking steps. So what are the steps here? First of all, God's going to give us just a few steps. Number one, you walk after the Spirit. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me read you out of Romans 8. And again, there's a lot of Bible on this, and I want you to be able to pay attention while I read a lot of Bible here. But Romans 8 talks a whole bunch of verses about this whole subject. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 4, and that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit, and they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See all it says about that there? He says if you walk after the flesh, you're after the flesh. If you walk after the Spirit, there is no condemnation. In other words, you don't feel any guilt. God's never mad at you if you walked after the Spirit, not after the flesh. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. It's a free. As a matter of fact, we read later in 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is a freedom in following the Spirit. There is no oppression in the flesh. So you have to walk after the Spirit. Let's take our days, and so you're going to walk after. That means you're going to follow after. You're going to live being led by. You're going to live a life walking after the spiritual realm, not a life walking after the flesh. Let's just illustrate this a little bit. You get up in the morning. What do I want for breakfast? I want my Honey Nut Cheerios this morning. And you know what? I want to go take a hot shower because I'm very cold this morning. And I want to go and have a good cup of coffee. And and you're in Seattle, so you don't just have a cup of coffee. You have something to put your creamer in. And you say, I only want Irish cream creamer this morning. And I'll put a whole bunch of sugar in that. And I want to go and I want to get up and I don't want any traffic on the way to work. And when I go to work, I don't want to talk to that person because I don't like them. You know what? So-and-so's calling me and I don't want to talk to them right now. You realize how many times you said, I want, I want, I want, I want, and you did everything you wanted to do. What's wrong with that? That's just, you're just doing what your flesh wants, and you've gratified your flesh with everything it wanted so far. You're walking after the flesh. You're just living your whole life saying, what do I want, what do I want? You're like an animal. What do I want, what do I want, what do I want? And you're not walking after the Spirit. Another person might get up in the morning and lay in bed and wake up and say, Lord, thank you, I'm alive another day. Lord, what do you want me to do today? You know, Lord, I really want coffee. Is it okay if I have coffee? I'll not have it if you don't want me to have it. And that is possible, by the way. And you say, Lord, I really want to go and check my email right now, but you know what? I'm just wasting my time. I know I wanted that every single morning, go check Facebook, and I know something probably happened during the night on Facebook, and I got to check it every other minute. But Lord, I don't need to check that today. You know, you know what? Lord, I don't really want to read my Bible, but you probably want to read a Bible this morning, don't you? And you know what? I'm going to lay and read it in bed, but I know if I lay in bed and read the Bible, I'm not going to get it very good, and I don't want to get out the cold, but I'm going to get up and read my Bible. Lord, that's what you want me to do, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. And I'm going to spend some time this morning. I don't want to pray, Lord. I want to just get up, go, and I want to watch the TV while I'm sitting eating breakfast. That's what I want to do, Lord. But you know what? I think you want me to spend some time with you this morning, Lord. And Lord, what way you want me to drive to work? Which direction? Maybe, Lord, if you have any appointments for me today, and Lord, you know, I really today don't want to talk to Susie. So you know what? I'm going to deny my flesh, Lord, because I think I might need to win her to Christ someday and be a witness to her. And she knows that I go to church and I want to be an example. So Lord, I'm going to go to her first. I'm just going to say, I'm sorry if I've offended you in any way. Lord, lead me what to say to her. You see how they're two different lives? One's walking after the Spirit. One is walking after the flesh. One is just saying, ugh, me want, ugh. The other one is saying, I am seeing what God wants with my day today. I am going to follow the Lord's prompting. You want to witness that person? Okay, I'll do that. Your flesh says, no, don't witness to them. You're embarrassed. You look stupid. They'll make fun of you. I don't want to do that. You say, I'm following the Spirit today. And those that walk after the Spirit, they don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's God's promise. And there's no condemnation for them. And they're going to reap great fruit in the future. You've got to first walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Number two, you got to kill your fleshly desires. This is hard. This sounds crazy. But it's Bible, all of the Bible. Romans 8:13 is one verse. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The word mortify, it comes to the word to kill. Like morgue comes from the same word. Mortician comes from the same word. Mortify. Put to death the deeds of the body, it says. Ye shall live. Put to death the body, by the way. It's not suicide. Put to death the deeds of the body. Through the Spirit, mortify. There's a lot of verses in this, but let's go back to our text there. And Galatians chapter 5. Verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. Okay, here's the thing. Travis, come on up here. Ron, come on up here. So, flesh got a good grip on my life. He tells me, and the Spirit's trying to pull me, and he says, go out and go, and you got to eat this, and you got to do this, and you got to have this, and he's always telling me what to do. And you know what I do to him? I start beating him up. And I start beating him up. I always wanted to do that. And I start beating him up. And so what I say is I say, you know what? I want coffee this morning. No coffee for you.
You love coffee.
And then I say, you know what? You're freezing to death. All you want to do is put your socks on. I'm not going to put my socks on first. I'm going to make sure you're not in control. I'm just going to deny you. And what happens when I start denying him, he gets weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And pretty soon, his little grip, he tries to grab me. And I just, you have no strength over me. But when all the time I'm doing what he says and I feed him, guess what? This guy's got a death grip on me, and he can drag me wherever he wants to drag me. Go ahead and drag me. And I'm under his control. And that then you say, I just couldn't resist it. I had to. I had to. No, you didn't. But you have to because the flesh is so strong. Well, my flesh is stronger than yours, Pastor. Your flesh isn't strong like mine, want to bet? But when I'm doing right, I'm denying myself. If any man come after me, then deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Okay, you guys can be seated. So I'm starving my flesh. I start fasting. Oh, you want to talk about torturing me? I like eating. All of a sudden I say, you know what, flesh, you are getting too much control. I'm fasting. And breakfast is my favorite meal. And the flesh is going to fight back. And the devil's going to fight. And devil's going to send everybody to offer me, Pastor, you want to go to lunch today? Told by the time I was fasting, I was just dying. And I went into Costco. And I mean, the sample ladies chased me. And it was the best samples Costco's ever had. I'm telling you, it was, I mean, I couldn't get away from them. I'm in the oil section. Here's a lady offering me a little sausage. I mean, it was terrible. And the flesh you got to deny. I want this. I'm not going to do this. Now, the flesh gets weak, and pretty soon you're like, you've denied yourself so much, it's no big deal. Pretty soon you can say, you know what? Go ahead and send me to the lions. I don't care. I'm going to heaven. My flesh is going to tell me what to do. Flesh saying, don't go to church. Brother, come on. I'm going to church. I love Jesus, and you know what? I've been denying you all week. You just got a little pinky grip on me. You don't have any control over me. I'm going to pray for an hour. Flesh says, no, you don't pray today. You know what? Just to bother you, I'm praying for an hour. On my knees! And I'm not even turning the heater on. I'm going to sit here in the cold and pray. little things all the time. You know why it's so much easier to be a Christian, and Christians that I meet around the world in third world countries, you know why they get so on fire for God and it's so easy for them to give up everything and serve Jesus and deny themselves? You know why it's so easy for them to read the Bible and why they're so devout? You know why? Their flesh isn't fed all the time. They don't get all the gratification they want. You know, it's not normal historically to be able to control the temperature of the room you're in. And yet, you get the temperature wrong in a room, get the women, if it's too cold, I mean, they exaggerate, or if I set the temperature at 80 degrees and preach on hell next Sunday, people would leave before, I can't take it. You can't take it. You're just too used to getting what you want. You're going to die because it's 80 degrees. You think you will. It's like the other person thinks they don't get their cup of coffee. And everybody, I love it. We're so spoiled and so used to feeding our flesh and getting everything you want. You walk up and say, you want some water? Oh, I only drink bottled water. And if it's not the right temperature, we're so used, we get everything we want all the time. You don't just go to a restaurant and say, I want to eat today. Do you have food? I'll pay for it. No, you order it and you want extra onions, light ketchup, extra mustard, plus this, minus that. And if they bring it wrong, why? We're used to getting everything we want all the time. You now have heated seats in your car. I'm not going to preach on that. I already see. I can preach on the Bible. I'm not going to church. That's fine. But the heated seats. Steering wheel. Why? Because I don't want to wait till the car gets warm. And I'm not against heated seats and heated steering wheels, okay? Now, I'll never have one, and you guys get them, but I'm not against that. I'm just saying, do you see how your flesh is fed all the time? And no wonder so many American Christians say, you know what, let's live for Jesus. Let's be willing to die for him. Let's go win souls. I'm kind of tired. I don't feel like coming to church today. Jesus said, be willing to die for him. Take up your cross and follow him. You know what? My favorite show's on. I'm not going to read the Bible tonight. Why? Because to make an American who's just got this flesh, both arms wrapped around them because they get everything they want all the time, and they're just custom order life, everything, comforts and everything, and they say, I would like to serve God, but I would have to do something I don't want to do. I can't do anything. And we had these play around Christians who wouldn't, they act like they die for Jesus, but they won't get up, they won't come back on Sunday night to go to church to hear preaching. And when was the last time they read their Bible? When was the last time they witnessed to somebody? Well, I'm shy. Yeah, you're used to your pride being fulfilled, and you only do your little comfort zones of where you like being with people and them thinking of you a certain way because your flesh likes that. So you won't go out of your fleshly zone to witness to somebody. Because you're so, and by the way, once you've denied yourself enough and you've beaten up your flesh and got your flesh weak enough, and then you meet an average Christian, they look very disgusting. I don't feel like it. And? I don't want to. So what? That's it? You don't want to? And you're not going to serve God because you don't feel like it. Because it's hard? I don't think what Jesus did for you was easy. I don't think being crucified, he felt like it. But we're wrapped in control of the flesh. If any man come after them, and deny himself. That's biblical Christianity. But our flesh, like kings, I understand, kings do not have the things, did not historically have the things you had. They couldn't, you know how hard it was for them to take a warm bath? They didn't have running water. Kings would give their castle for your car. Their cars, their chariots did not have heated seats. or rains, heated rains. And so we're so used to that. And so you've got to learn to deny yourself. You got to crucify the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof, it says. Number three, allow the Lord to bring, I'm going to be all alone next Sunday. Allow the Lord to bring productive suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is what God did to me because I was so weak. That's 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 1, forasmuch that Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer should live the rest of his life to the lusts of the flesh. The rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That's where I was. I was this person. I got saved, and I was fleshly, weak. I couldn't do anything. And the Spirit was pulling me, and I wanted God. I wanted to be close to God. I wanted to be spiritual. I wanted to be close to Him. And I finally, I was able to get away from some things, but there's about four or five things I couldn't change. And finally, I did the smartest thing. I didn't know I was being smart about it. I said, God, I don't love you enough to give up these things. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. So I told God, I said, Lord, you got to help me with this. You know what God did? He made me start suffering. I began to lose all my friends. I began to get isolated. I began to have burdens that I never had before. I began to get depression that I'd never had before. I began to suffer in all kinds of ways. Now, I was getting closer to God and getting a peace and a joy inside. But you know what? I suffered so much that God just went ahead and said, let me let you suffer. For he that suffers in the flesh ceases from sin. Now, think about it for a sec. Why would those, it says that, he that suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin. Why would you quit sinning when you suffer? Anybody? Not important anymore? Anybody else? It hurts? Don't feel like it? Suffering makes your flesh not be gratified. It beats up your flesh. That's why you usually grow the most and become the closest to God when you're suffering, because your flesh is being crucified from the outside. You're not having to do it. Life's doing it. God's doing it. And you're going through this terrible hard time and your flesh is going, I can't hold on to you. You're just, I'm getting beat up with this. I'm miserable and I'm getting weaker and weaker. I can't hold on to you. Why? Because you're suffering. Suffering purifies you. But do we ever look on suffering as good? No. We think it's automatically this bad thing. God must be mad at me. No, he might be cleansing you. Because you're not strong enough to crucify your own flesh, so he's going to help you make your flesh die by suffering. Allow and even pray for, if you need it, good suffering. What? Pray for suffering. You will say, now I didn't ask to be suffer, but God, I said, God, I want to be purified. And so what happens, all of a sudden you pray and you say, God, whatever you got to do to make me a good Christian, God says, okay, I got to put you through some trials. I got to put you through some things. You're going to lose a friend. You're going to have some health issues. And you're going to suffer. And by the way, we are going to this realm right now. I'm in so much trouble. We're going to this realm right now where we are trying to inoculate ourselves from any type of suffering. And it's the one thing, it's called a pill. A pill. And I'm not saying you don't take an aspirin, you need an aspirin, I'm not saying that. But we are trying to make it so we never get depressed, we never have an ache, and people are at 61% of overdoses last year in King County were prescription drugs. Because they're giving people heavy doses of drugs who have got a chronic pain, and I'm not against taking things temporarily, but there's just going to be pain in life. And take one if it's temporary, but don't get addicted. And I want to say this, life is going to have pain and suffering, and it's not terrible. It hurts, but it helps you sometimes. And so For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Why? That he should no longer live the rest of his time to the in the flesh to the lusts of men, but the will of God. Allow the Lord to bring productive suffering in your life. You don't look for it. You might have to deny yourself. By the way, let me tell you this. You deny yourself in little things, just fast. Just deny yourself in little things. You'll find your flesh loses its strength. But sometimes God's got to bring bigger things and allow that and don't get bitter about it. Next, strengthen the spiritual side of you. Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to a couple of verses here. Strengthen the spiritual side of you. You still with me? Got a lot of doctrine here. A lot I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to really teach you enough for a couple sermons here. Strengthen the spiritual side of you. Verse 10, the chapter Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That verse says the new man, the spirit in you, that is strengthened by knowledge of God. It's renewed after the knowledge of God. And there's a lot of verses on this. I'm not going to read all of them, but let me read another one, Ephesians. It's renewed, it's strengthened, it's lifted up by certain things. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Strengthened by his might. Okay, two guys back up here. This is the last time I'll need you. Back up here just for a sec. It says, I'm going to strengthen the new man. Okay? So, I know this. I got this guy and I got this guy. I'm going to, remember I said that he said, whichever dog I feed wins the battle. I'm going to start feeding him, the new man, and he's going to get stronger and stronger. I'm going to start starving him. Okay? What do you think something that would make him weak and make him strong? What's that? Praying. What do you think the Bible does? Strengthens the inner man. It's feeding him. There's a bunch of things that this guy doesn't like. Or there's a bunch of things that this guy doesn't like. And I can run this guy down so his pull is so weak. And by the way, as you will find that as you do the wrong things, you will find yourself not having a strong spiritual pull and even forgetting about the spiritual things. That's why you feel so spiritual on Sunday and ready to go for serve God. And by about Friday, you're like, meh. But I want to say the very things that worked on Sunday will work on Thursday. So I'm going to feed this guy, make him big and strong. I'm going to starve this guy, and he's going to become very weak, so his pull's going to become weak. Okay, you guys can sit down first, and I'm done with you. So there's a bunch of things that feed your flesh. Reading the Bible. The Bible feeds the flesh. Denying yourself weakens the flesh. But let me say, preaching feeds the spirit and weakens the flesh. You want to move? Remember Paul said, my spirit was refreshed by your coming to me? There are certain people who feed your spirit, and your spirit feels great afterward and ready to serve God. And there are certain people who drain your spirit and make your flesh, and you're done with them, and after you leave them, you're angry. And they fed your flesh. Certain people feed the spirit. And you better, and what you're right now, you're around people who are going to feed your spirit. But at work, you might not be. So you will need more fellowship with good Christians. You'll have the purpose to find time during the week to be with good Christians. Because your flesh is getting fed by... And by the way, you want to know... what you listen to and watch. Now, one of the Bible says, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eye. Once you get sense of this, you feel your flesh getting strong sometimes. You're aware of this battle. You feel your spirit getting strong sometimes. Listen, godly music, you will feel your spirit going, steroids, yeah. You ever listen to a godly song and say, Lord, I love you so much. I want to serve you with my whole heart. And then if you're sensitive to it, you listen to certain music. And your flesh goes, yeah, like this. Let's go do drugs. Let's go get drunk. Let's go get in a fight. And did you know that Christians will bring fleshly music and have it playing around in their house all the time and wonder why their house has so much strife. I reckon there's probably certain things you could watch that would feed the flesh. You got a flesh feeder, a big one-eyed monster called television in the middle of your house, feeding your flesh. And, have one. Only watch things are going to lift your spirit, not your flesh. I reckon nudity, cussing, violence, probably are feeding the flesh, you think, maybe? Isn't that the fruit of the flesh? See, you've got to feed. And by the way, most of us have been fed all week long with the flesh. Man, we are, let go of me. He's a monster. Can the flesh lust against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh? And these are contrary one to another so that you cannot do the things that you would. But I like that music. Exactly. What likes that music? Your flesh or your spirit? Music is not entertainment, by the way, biblically. What's it for? It's worship. If you like it, that's bonus. Can I tell you, when I came out of listening to Ozzy Osbourne and Iron Maiden and Scorpions and Van Halen and went to Amazing Grace, how sweet, my flesh didn't like it. You say, well, you need to stop listening to it if you don't like it. No, I needed that. I needed that. And my spirit says, ooh, I like this. My flesh says, you're a nerd. My spirit says, I'm going to punch you pretty soon because I'm getting stronger. You got to starve one. Next, I got to finish. Not too many things. In the end, the flesh does not make your life happier or more fulfilling than the spirit. The flesh temporarily says, I like that. And then your life starts growing fruit. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Read the fruits again. Which one do you want in the end? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's good life right there. Yeah, and the people out there feeding their flesh and living after the flesh, they have fun for a while, but he that live out of the flesh shall die, and there's condemnation, and there's wrath, and divorce, and strife, and envy, and hatred, and variance, and problems. And anger inside, no peace. So actually the flesh really doesn't make your flesh happier in the end. Just does for a minute. Just like a drug. Makes you feel good for a little while, then you're empty and need more. And your whole life will be chasing the flesh. When you yield and follow and walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of flesh. It's gotten so weak. And you're living in victory in Jesus, full of joy and peace and purpose and living for eternity and got great things coming in heaven. But you had to get there to deny your flesh. You might have to get up early to read your Bible. Early? I get up 13 seconds before I have to. After I push snooze 11 times. But you'll have to. It's going to be hard to read a Bible. Yep. It'll be hard to pray. It's going to be hard to love your enemy. It's going to be hard to go to church. It's going to be hard to do everything spiritual. Especially when your flesh is so strong. So start denying it. Start not feeding it all the time. And watch how you feel strong in the Spirit. And you'll get there. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we got to choose spirit of the flesh. Lord, I pray we'd choose right. I know a lot of people have the Holy Spirit inside of them and they want to serve you, but the flesh has got a grip on them. They can't do it. I pray today they'd make the choice to feed the Spirit, not the flesh. They'd begin to crucify their flesh and deny themselves and make it die to its desires. And Lord, we don't have to physically harm ourselves. We just have to go ahead and start denying ourselves. I pray that we would live in the Spirit and get the fruit of the Spirit and be a bunch of people filled with love and joy and peace, and all these wonderful fruits, Lord, please help us to do so. Thank you for your word and all the instructions it has in this subject. Help us to do so and live this way in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.